This recording, Mississippi 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily in an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either five or six times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I'm 42 and I was born in Quillón, Chile. My parents were American. We were either from Mississippi, and we came back to Mississippi immediately after I was born. And I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, and lived there for most of my life. And then I lived in Hattiesburg, Mississippi also. It was fantastic. Growing up in Mississippi was incredible. It was a very idealistic for me, in terms of we hunted a lot and fished, and we're in the outdoors a lot. So it was great. I remember when I was younger, I caught a venomous snake, a water moccasin, and I was scared to let go of it. So my neighbor got a garbage can and took the lid off, and she said, "Okay, now you throw it in there when I open the lid." So I did that, and it snowed when I was about five, and I decided I was going to, which was very rare, so I decided I was going to run naked through the neighborhood, too. So that was a good time. For the most part, it was, you know, for the first 30 years of my life, Mississippi was the main place. I do remember my grandmother, who was named Earlene Puckett. Had a lot of dialect words that are lost now, and she was from Scottish stock. And she was born in 1911, so she would have heard a lot of words from older people when she was a little girl that were in use in the probably in the earlier part of the early to mid 19th century. So for ghost, she would say hate. And she used a hollow, like a, you know, a little, not a valley, but like a, not a ditch and not a valley, but in between. So a hollow was a holler, and a ghost was a hate. and to give up the ghost was to die. You were giving the ghost up. The ghost was leaving your body, so that was to give up the ghost.